Hi everybody, the Complex PTSD guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to talk a little bit about somatization, and I guess I'll start out with explaining what that is. Somatization is when your body, when you have a physical response to stress. That's what somatization is. So for me, I've told you guys before, I've had Bell's palsy twice, and my Bell's palsy, both times I had it, was within 24 hours of a life-altering stressor that I had no control over. So both times I had it, it was within that time period of life-changing stressor. Not just I was mad that day or I was really depressed that day. Life-changing things happened that were not good for me. I should point that out. These were things that were not good for me, that I really had no control over. It involved other people, and people who, let's just say, not good things were happening. But it was stressors beyond my control that deeply affected my life. And so I was trying to cope with it. And then the next day, you know, waking up with paralysis. So Bell's palsy is where half of your face physically becomes paralyzed, similar to a stroke. Mine, thankfully, knock on wood, went away. And, I know now what to look for. You know, I know now what to mentally look for and be prepared for. The first time it happened, that was years before I was ever diagnosed with complex PTSD. So I didn't even know I had complex PTSD. The first time I had it, I was 28. And the second time I had it, I was 38. And so that would be one example. Others can be headaches, chest pains. You know, there's a lot of different things that I think can be physical stressors, bodily stressors. And when your body is telling you something, by the way, listen to it. It's very important to listen to it. I actually, for the last week, I hadn't been sleeping as well, and I was wondering what exactly I was doing differently that would possibly be causing my sleep problem. And then I remembered I had recently, and I would say the last 10 days, I had started drinking English black tea whenever I would get home from work. Just something with a little bit of flavor, just something hot. I was wanting a hot drink, and I don't have a coffee maker or anything at home. And I don't really like hot coffee. I like iced coffee anyway. So that's one reason I don't have a coffee pot. And I'm not a huge tea drinker, but I do drink chamomile tea at night, because that actually helps with sleep. But chamomile tea does not have caffeine in it, or at least the type I drink. There's no caffeine. But English black tea definitely has caffeine. And it just didn't, I just wasn't really thinking that that was going to bother me when I bought it. So I was drinking, you know, maybe a couple of cups of this tea around, let's say, 6 o'clock in the evening, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And that little bit of that black tea that I was drinking that had caffeine, it was interfering with my sleep. And it just wasn't, I just wasn't thinking about it. You know, I had changed something in my routine, and I never thought, oh, this could interfere with my sleep. And then once it started interfering, I had to really think, what in the world is going on that this is interfering with me getting to bed? There was also another thing that had changed in my routine in regards to somebody that I socialize with, where we were talking more later in the evening, like at 10 o'clock at night. And normally we don't do that. So I stopped doing that. I had to change that and change when we would be chit-chatting. And so when I actually went to bed last night at like 9:30, because I was so tired, and I just thought, I can't stay up and chat at 10 o'clock at night. So I went to bed, and last night was much better. So, you know, little tiny things can really impact your sleep. And if your sleep is impacted, that can really interfere with your bodily symptoms. So I knew I had to figure out what was going on with my sleep so I wouldn't have any type of somatization, like any type of a nerve stressor. And I also take vitamins for that, for my nerves, because I don't ever want to have any kind of paralysis ever again. But I'm also mentally more aware of what to watch out for. And I'm also just happier. Just in the last month, like I said, I've been doing confidence building and more resilience building. So, you know, I've been doing those things and I just feel better. And I also wanted to point out, I haven't had as many of those like coincidences or those dream type things happen. And remember, a lot of those things would tend to happen when I was more stressed out, which I find interesting. The more I was stressed out, the more that I would see those things. So I haven't been as stressed out, even though my sleep was a little bit interfered with, but the sleep was due to the tea. It wasn't due to stress. So me being happier in the last, 3 weeks to a month, I haven't been as stressed out. So it's changed some of that stuff. So it's almost good to keep a daily diary, which I don't do. I don't keep an actual physical written journal to look back at. Sometimes when I look at my title episodes for this podcast, it almost can be a reminder, almost like a diary. And I say that this podcast is a diary that you guys are eavesdropping on, because I'm choosing to let you do that. But so in a way, whenever I look back at my episodes, it can remind me of certain things. But a physical written journal sometimes can be a lifesaver for things like that. If you're trying to figure out maybe what is something that has changed in your routine, if you're to write it down. So if I were to actually write down, I bought tea today, I normally don't do that, because if I don't write it down, I'm not going to, maybe it would not help at all. But keeping a detailed journal like that, I had an uncle that used to do that. He used to write literally almost everything down that he did in a day. Because whenever he passed away, we saw his journals of like things that would happen. He wrote every single day, which blew my mind that, he had a date. And it wasn't just what happened this week. It was what happened every single day. But it seemed like that would be a lot to do, but maybe it's something he would use to look back at for that exact reason. I don't know. But somatization, again, it's so important to take care of your mental health. And some of the things I've done for boredom have really helped me. I actually just got 4 more books. Like I said, I go shelf to shelf at the library and nonfiction. And there's this very specific order to it, right? And it's always something you can go back to. And it never gets boring because you're always learning something new. So I got 4 more books. The book I had just read, by the way, was really interesting. I didn't read the whole book. Like I said, I always read who wrote the book, what's the point of the book, who's the audience for this book, and why was it written, when was it written, subject matter. And then I just see what I can learn from it. That's it. I kind of skim through it. I don't read the whole book. And sometimes I'll even look up on Wikipedia details about what the book is about and just get a summary and just learn something. That's the point. But very important to do it in an order, shelf by shelf and nonfiction. Start with the first shelf. So that's really helped. That's really helped that boredom aspect. And again, the boredom could only be maybe 3 hours. Twice a week, 3 hours a day, twice a week, or 3 days a week, who knows what. Small amount of time, but boredom can really be dangerous because it idle hands are the devil's workshop, so to speak. And the other thing is engaging with a hobby has just made me happier. And I actually checked out 2 more magazines on coin collecting and the history of coins. Again, they're at the library. It's free, right? So those are other things I've done, and those help me engage with my interests, and that makes me happier. And so the more happy you are, I think the less of the somatization you would have. I'm likely less, I'm probably less likely to have that Bell's palsy from stress again. And I personally think mine was from stress. Other people say Bell's palsy is from other stuff, but I think it's from stress. It's kind of up in the air on that, what certain people believe causes Bell's palsy. I know what caused mine. That was no coincidence. But, you know, the less stressed you are and the more you take care of your nervous system, the more the just better off you'll be. And getting plenty of, I would say, exercise and fresh air, getting out in nature, watching something funny or lighthearted. I actually rented a lighthearted movie from the library as well. Just something kind of brainless, but lighthearted. You know, nothing traumatizing or crazy or anything like that. So I just wanted to share that. Somatization is something when your body is telling you something, listen to it. So this is the Complex PTSD guy signing off.